chapter 7,
text number 13.
Gunamayer bhavayer ebhi sarvam idam jagat mohitam nabhijanati mam ebhyah paramavyayam.
By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Kindly repeat. Deluded. So welcome once again to our Wednesday satsang. So far, except for the last two Wednesdays, we have been discussing at length various ideas of the Mayavad philosophy. The Mayavad philosophy has many aspects to it. We have already seen how the Mayavadis believe that God is only impersonal. They believe that the individual jiva or the spirit soul, the atma, he is also God. They believe that in the ultimate analysis, there is nothing like individuality or personality. They believe that the jiva, after being liberated from the cycle of birth and death, he will merge into the formless Brahman, the formless, nirakar, nirguna, absolute truth, and he will extinguish his individuality. They believe that this world is false, it is an illusion, and the only reality is the impersonal Brahman. They do not recognize the personality of God. And they also believe that not only are all of us in Maya, but they also believe that even Krishna and all the other avatars that come from him, like Ram, Narasimha, etc., they are also under the influence of Maya, and that their very bodies are also made up of the same stuff or the substance of which our bodies are made. So they believe that Krishna, Lord Krishna himself or God himself, is also under the clutches of Maya or illusion. Therefore the term Mayavad. Vad means philosophy. Maya means that they believe even Lord Krishna is under Maya. So the word Mayavad. So today we will discuss this particular aspect. The other aspects we have already discussed in earlier sessions. So let us try to see, what is this Maya? What is this material energy? What is this illusion? Actually, the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna, has many, many energies. Parasa shaktir vividhaiva shruyate. He has many energies, and the two principal energies are the spiritual energy and the material energy. This material world is a manifestation of the Maya Shakti, or the material energy of the Lord. And this Maya Shakti or material energy is constituted of what are called three modes of nature, three gunas. They are called Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, or also called in English, we can call them goodness, passion, and ignorance. They are called the three modes of nature because everything in this material nature is composed of these three modes. Just like you have three primary colors, red, yellow, and blue, isn't it? Three primary colors. From these three colors, you can make any combination. All the colors in this creation can come simply by a combination of R, Y, and B, red, yellow, and blue. So like that, These three gunas, they combine in various permutations and combinations in this material creation. And therefore the creation exists as we see it. So the whole world, everything in it, is comprised of these three gunas. The Shastras declare that everything in this world can be categorized according to the guna or the quality. For example, you can have food that is in sattva guna or rajaguna or tamaguna. You can have faith that is in rajaguna, tamaguna, sattva guna. Understanding, knowledge, worship, way of thinking, the different places that we have here, they all can be categorized under these three qualities or the three modes of material nature. Nothing in this material nature can escape this classification. So these are called the three modes. Now these three modes, because they are all pervasive, therefore this material energy is also sometimes called Trigunamayi. The Maya Shakti that is made up of Triguna, the three gunas or qualities. The word guna also actually means rope. It is a rope by which all the jivas, all the spirit souls in this material creation are bound to the cycle of birth and death. Somebody is bound with the rope of Sattvaguna, somebody is bound with the rope of Rajaguna, somebody is bound with the rope of Tamaguna. But mostly people are bound with all three ropes. Somebody has more of one rope and less of the other. Somebody has more of Sattvaguna, somebody has more of Rajaguna, somebody has more of Tamaguna. So like that, these three modes, they are like ropes that tie the individual jiva down in this material existence. And all are bound here. And the Mayavadis say that not only are all of us bound, but even Krishna is so bound here. That Krishna is not only bound by the three modes of material nature, but also that he is a product of the three modes of material nature. Our material body, for example, is a product of these three gunas. So they say that even Krishna's body is a product of the three modes of material nature. In other words, that he is also a material being. But in this shloka, Lord Krishna very clearly explains his position. Tribhir gunamayir bhave ebhi sarvamidam jagat mohitam nabhijanati mam ebhyah param avyayam. He says, Tribhir gunamayir bhave. Tribhi means three. Gunamaya means the three gunas. Bhave means states of existence. So he says that there are these three states of existence, sattva, rajas, tamas, and the whole world thinks that I am a product of this, that I am under the influence of these three modes. But actually they are mohitam. Mohitam means that they are deluded, they are under illusion. Na abhijanati, actually they do not know the truth. What is the truth? Mam ebhyah param avyayam. They do not know that mam, I am what? Ebhyah. I am above these three modes. I am param. I am the supreme. And I am avyayam. Inexhaustible. Spiritual. I am completely beyond this material creation. I have nothing to do with these three modes of material nature. Sattva, rajas or tamas. Actually, this material creation is coming from the Supreme Lord Himself. Therefore, all the three gunas are also coming from Him. In the shloka earlier to this one, Lord Krishna explains, Ye chaiva sattvika bhava, rajasas tamasas chaye, matta eveti tan vidhi, natvaham teshu te mai. He says, know for certain that all states of being, whether of goodness, passion or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am in one sense everything, but I am independent. I am not under the control of the modes of nature, for on the contrary, they are within me. So Lord Krishna is explaining these three states of existence: Sattvika Bhava, Rajasika Bhava, and Tamasika Bhava. Bhava means nature, state of being, state of existence. So everything in this material world is either under one of these three bhavas or a combination of them. But those who think that Lord Krishna is also under these is actually under illusion. And Lord Krishna states very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita that one who thinks like this is a mudha. Mudha means a fool. He says, avajananti mam mudha manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajananto mam bhuta maheshwaram. He says, avajananti mam mudha. The mudhas or the fools, they do not know me. Avajananti, they think I am a normal human being just like them. Manushim tanum ashritam, because I appear to be just like them, with two hands and two legs, two ears, two eyes and nose, of similar built, who's also speaking like them. So they feel that I am also one of them, manushim tanum ashritam. But they do not know. What do they not know? Param bhavam ajananto. Ajananto, they do not know my param bhava. Param bhava means my spiritual nature. Mama bhuta maheshwaram, that I am the supreme lord of all beings. So everything in this world is either under sattvika bhava, rajasa bhava, or tamasa bhava. But what is Lord Krishna? Param bhava. Param bhava means spiritual. He has nothing to do with the things of this world. Krishna or God is the absolute truth, which means that he is the source of everything. Everything emanates from him, and all these three gunas are emanating from him, but he is not under their influence. He is not controlled by them. In fact, even the very person who has propounded this Mayavad philosophy many hundreds of years ago, Shankaracharya, we have seen earlier that he himself is actually a covered personalist. He is an incarnation of Lord Shiva in disguise. So he declares Narayana Paro Avyaktat, that Narayan is actually para. He is beyond this material creation. He has nothing to do with the limitations of this material creation. In fact, the jiva is bound, but never Krishna. In the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining to Arjuna that, Arjuna, you are not the first person to whom I am explaining this message of Bhagavad Gita. Many, many, many millions and millions of years ago, I explained the same message to the sun god Vivashvan. Actually, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada actually calculates the time when he should have spoken. For those who are interested, you can actually read and you will understand how the calculation takes place. So Srila Prabhupada has computed that this conversation between Lord Krishna and Arjuna and the sun god Vivaswan must have taken place about 120 million years ago. Quite a long time, isn't it? So Arjuna is naturally perplexed. So he asked Lord Krishna, my dear Krishna, you are my contemporary. We were born around the same time. And Vivaswan is, by any standards, your senior. So how is it that you instructed this message to him? So then Lord Krishna smiles and he says, my dear Arjuna, bahuni me vyatitani janmani tava charjuna tanyaham veda sarvani natvam vetha parantapa. He says, my dear Arjuna, both of us have passed through many births. You do not remember them, but I remember every one of them. The jiva is forgetful by nature. That is why we do not remember our previous lives. What to speak of the previous lives? We do not even remember our present life, our childhood, our period in the mother's womb. We do not remember these things. This is under the influence of tamoguna. The mode of ignorance is responsible for making us forget. Arjuna is actually an eternal associate of the Lord. Whenever the Lord incarnates in this material creation and performs pastimes in different material universes, Arjuna, his eternal associate, is always traveling with him. And he helps him in his leela, in his pastime, and plays different roles. But because he is a jivatma, he sometimes forgets that he has been participating in all these leelas in the past. But Lord Krishna never forgets. Because Lord Krishna can never come under the influence of tamogun, or even sattvagun for that matter. So forgetfulness is the nature of the jiva. But Krishna, he never forgets. He is all-knowing, trikalagya. He knows past, present and future. He never forgets. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani cha Arjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tu vedana kashchana. My dear Arjuna, I know the past, I know everything that is happening at present, and I know all that will happen in the future. I know everything. But me, no one knows. So in other words, Lord Krishna is perfect in his knowledge. Our knowledge is not perfect. Our memory is always prone to be influenced by the three modes of nature. And therefore we forget. Our intelligence gets contaminated. So because Krishna never forgets, he never comes under the influence of Maya. Therefore another name for Krishna is Achyuta. Achyuta means one who never falls down into Maya. Another name for Lord Krishna is also Adhokshaja. Adhokshaja means one who is always above these three gunas, above the three modes of material nature. We can see that this is easy to understand. Material creation is created by Krishna. So how can Krishna be under its control? Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a king. The king makes many laws. He is the lawmaker. But he himself is not subject to those same laws. The ordinary citizens of the state, the king will make them actually follow these laws. But no one can make him follow these laws because he himself has made them. So, we can see in the Shastra, in the Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures, there are many shlokas that actually prove this point, that Lord Krishna is always superior to Maya, that he can never come under the control of Maya or the material energy. In the 10th chapter, Lord Krishna explains, Mayadhyakshena prakritihi suyate sa characharam hetu nanena kaunteya jagat piparivartate. He says, this prakriti of material nature is working under my direction, Maya Adhyakshena. And because of my superintendence and direction, this material world is moving. All the moving and non-moving beings are functioning only because of my superintendence. So this Maya Shakti of Krishna is under his control at every point of time. In the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, also very clearly it is declared, Mayam tu prakritim vidyan, mayinam tu maheshwaram, that this material energy or this Maya Shakti is the material energy, but behind the material energy is a supreme magician who is actually manipulating everything, who is controlling everything. He is known as Maheshwara, Lord Krishna. So the real controller. In the Srimad Bhagavat also it is said, Mayam chayatad apashrayam, that Maya is always under the control of Lord Krishna. Therefore Lord Krishna is called Mayesha, Maya Isha, the controller of Maya. So like this there are so many evidences in the scripture that go to prove that Lord Krishna is in all circumstances the controller of Maya. and material energy, and that he is never under the influence of it. But still the Mayavadis proclaim that God also is under the influence of Maya, that God also is forgetful. But this is contrary to everything that is said in scripture. As we have seen earlier, if God were to be under the influence of Maya, then Maya would be God. So what kind of God is he who also forgets and comes under illusion? So to explain this point, in the scriptures there are many nice illustrations. One nice illustration by which we can understand this very clearly. Take the example of the sun and the clouds. Do you know how the clouds are formed? Yes? Yes, the sun shines on the ocean, and because of the heat, the water evaporates and goes up into the atmosphere, and therefore the moisture collects and we get clouds. Now this is not a lecture on meteorology, but nevertheless it is an interesting example. So the clouds are formed, and when the clouds are there in the sky, what happens? Sometimes the clouds block our vision of the sun. We cannot see the sun. Sometimes we say in everyday language, oh, the sun is covered by the clouds. Is the sun actually covered by the clouds? Then what is the situation? Our vision of the sun is covered by the clouds. We are covered by the clouds. The cloud is actually at the most only a few miles at the most in diameter, in length. But how big is the sun? The sun is many, many millions and millions of miles wide. So the clouds can never cover the sun, but the clouds can at most cover our vision of the sun. So the cloud is like Maya, and the sun is like Krishna. And we are all below the clouds, under the influence of Maya. So therefore we cannot see Krishna or the sun. We cannot understand who is Krishna, what is his nature. But if the cloud is removed, or in other words, if we rise beyond the clouds, then we can see the sun very clearly. Now the cloud is also formed by the sun, isn't it? So just like that, Krishna also is the creator of Maya. One who knows how to go beyond the clouds, he understands what is the sun. Similarly, one who knows how to cross Maya, he can understand what is Krishna. So the jiva can either be below the clouds or above the clouds. But Krishna or the sun is always above the clouds or always above Maya. Is it possible that the sun will fall down to our surface, to the ground level, below the clouds? It's never possible. The sun is always high up in the sky in its own place. So like that, Krishna is always high above Maya, always beyond Maya. And Maya is actually always in the clutches of Lord Krishna. So by this simple analogy or this illustration, we can understand that actually Maya is a creation of Lord Krishna, and it is because of this Maya Shakti that we cannot understand what is Krishna. But Krishna is never bewildered by this Maya Shakti. We see in the Srimad Bhagavatam some nice examples of this. You all know about the wonderful way in which Lord Krishna appeared, correct? When his to-be father and mother, Vasudeva and Devaki, they were about to leave the home of Devaki, her brother Kansa, he was about to escort them on the chariot to her new home. And just at that time, there was an Akashvani, a voice in the sky that proclaimed, Kansa, you are a great fool. With great love, you are escorting your sister to her husband's home, but you do not know that her 8th child is going to be the cause of your death. So immediately Kansa, because he was an asura, he was a person of demoniac mentality. So immediately his mentality changed, and he caught hold of his sister by her hair, and he pulled out his sword, and he was about to kill her there and then. With great difficulty, her husband Vasudev, he somehow or the other convinced Kansa to at least not kill Devaki for the time being. He said, I promise you, the eighth child will be delivered to you. What to speak of the eighth child? Every child that is born, I will personally come and deliver to you with my own hands. After all, the Akashvani is that the eighth son is going to kill you. So why do you want to kill Devaki now? Let the children be born, and then when the eighth child comes, you can kill. So somehow the other Kansa was convinced. And in due course of time, when they were imprisoned, Devaki and Vasudev had six children. And each of those six children, Kansa killed very ruthlessly and mercilessly. And for the seventh time, when Devaki was pregnant, at that time she was not pregnant with any ordinary jiva or any ordinary child. It was an expansion of Lord Krishna himself, Shesha, Balaram. Balaram himself had come into the womb of Devaki. And at that time, Lord Krishna summoned his Maya Shakti, Yoga Maya Shakti. He summoned her. And she immediately came and offered obeisances. She circumambulated Lord Krishna three times and said, yes, my dear Lord, what seva can I do for you? So Lord Krishna explained, I have a mission for you. Down on earth, in Mathura, my great devotee Devaki, she is bearing in her womb my expansion, Shesha, also known as Balaram. So please go and transfer Balaram from the womb of Devaki in Mathura to the womb of Vasudev's other wife, Rohini, who is in Vrindavan, in Gokul. So transfer her there. Now you see what, transfer him there. What had happened, in fear of Kansa, many people had gone to distant places from Mathura. So one of Vasudev's queens, Rohini, she had also gone to Gokul and she was staying under the care of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda in Gokul. So Lord Krishna instructed Yoga Maya, his Maya Shakti, they transfer Balaram from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini in Gokul. And then I will appear in the womb of Mother Devaki as the eighth child. And you will appear in the womb of Yashoda as her daughter. Is it getting very confusing? No. So when the seventh child, Balaram, was removed from the womb in a miraculous way by Yogamaya, then people understood that Devaki had had a miscarriage. So Kansa also understood it in that way and he was relieved. But soon enough, Balaram was born from Rohini and everyone understood Balaram to be Rohini's son. And around the same time, first of all, Yogamaya appeared and she appeared in the womb of Yashoda, Mother Yashoda. And Krishna appeared directly as the son of Mother Devaki. At that time, everyone understood that both Yogamaya and Krishna were contemporary brother and sister. The details of this are very, very intricate and very nice to hear, but some other time. But suffice it to say here at this time, that then Lord Krishna said, that when you appear in this way as my contemporary sister, people all over the world will worship you with flowers and perfumes and incense and candles because you have come as my all-powerful sister. And those who are materialistic, they will worship you like this and you will bestow all kinds of blessings on them and fulfill their desires for sense enjoyment, for worldly pleasure. And therefore in this world, you will be known and worshipped in the form of your various expansions like Durga, Bhadrakali, Chandika, Sharada, Ambika, Ishani, and so on. So all these different names, I'm sure you have heard of all these different names. Kala Bhairavi. These are different expansions of the Yoga Maya Shakti. And Durga is none other than the Maya Shakti. So therefore, we can say that those who are materialistic people, they worship the Shakti. And they want to get material desires fulfilled. But those who are transcendentalists, they worship the Shaktiman, the source of the Shakti, the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose control the Shakti is working. Actually, in Vedic culture, sometimes we find that Devi is also worshipped along with Lord Vishnu. But to worship Devi or Durga or Maya, simply understanding her to be supreme, or simply worshipping her for material benefits, is of no value, because it will not help us to get out of the cycle of birth and death. So in this way, from this pastime, we can see that actually Maya Shakti or Durga Devi personified, she is actually the great devotee of Lord Krishna, and she is ever willing to perform any service for him. And after she got these instructions, she again circumambulated Lord Krishna 3 times and bowed her head and said, "As you desire, my Lord." And she went ahead and fulfilled the desire of Lord Krishna. So there are so many instances, historical instances like this, by which we can see that Maya Shakti or Durga Devi or Yoga Maya is always an eternal servant or a pure devotee of the Lord. So how is it possible that the Supreme Lord can actually be under the control of Maya? Because she is a devotee, Lord Krishna reciprocates with her in love. So when we say that Lord Krishna becomes a servant of his devotees, it is in a different sense. But ultimately we should know that Lord Krishna is always the supreme controller. So therefore there is so much evidence to show that Lord Krishna is the controller in all circumstances, at all points of time. Lord Krishna can never come under the control of Maya. And even Lord Krishna's body, it is not a material body. It is a body that is Sat Chit Ananda. Sat means that it is eternal. Chit means it is full of knowledge. And Ananda means it is full of bliss. So Lord Krishna's body is at all times a spiritual body. It is not a material body like ours. Lord Krishna comes exactly in his same self, same spiritual body. He does not have to take birth. He does not have to die. He does not have to grow old and get diseased like we do, because we have a material body. But the Mayavadis have no conception of a spiritual form. Therefore, they say that Lord Krishna also has a material form. So neither does Lord Krishna have a material form, and nor can he ever come under the clutches of Maya. The Jivatmas, however, are under the clutches of Maya. But the Jivatma is called the Tatastha Shakti, or the marginal energy. Marginal means it is on the banks. It is on the margin. Just like if you're standing on the bank of a river, it is a little dangerous. You can slip anytime and fall into the river. So like that, the Jivatma is on the borderline, marginal energy. There is always a possibility that the Jivatma may slip and fall and come under the control of Maya. So Jivatma is vulnerable, because the Jiva is a very tiny, tiny fraction of spiritual energy. So once under the control of Maya, the Jiva finds it very, very difficult to come out. The more the Jiva struggles to come out, the more